knowledge fight.
And Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy and Pansy. Stop it. Andy and Kansas. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Celine, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
Why don't you go first?
My bright spot is it is opening day of baseball.
Hey, the crack of the bat.
Major League Baseball doing the thing. Hitting the thing.
Did you get some Cracker Jacks?
No.
Oh.
Technically, here's what's fun about opening day baseball this year is that the Cubs are already 0-2.
Oh, no.
Because
they played their game in Japan, right?
Yeah. Which had everybody in Japan watch. Mm-hmm. Did you know that an entire country can watch a thing together?
And they watch the Cubs lose.
Everybody. Yeah.
So who are they playing in Japan?
The Dodgers.
Okay.
Well, it was because you've got Shohei Ohtani, who's the most famous person on earth.
Sure.
You've got Yoshinobu Yamamoto, who's a pitcher. You've got Shota. Seiya Suzuki. You've got, like, between the two teams, there's like 10 Japanese people. Mm-hmm. So it was an awesome thing for them to go and like do a whole thing, and it counts for the game. It was great. It was just fantastic.
As somebody who watched the Cardinals for 1 or 2 years, I'm required to ask about So Taguchi.
Still retired.
Okay. Did they play the Dodgers in the home opener too, or the second?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
Didn't get worked over twice.
No. So the Dodgers are the best team in baseball by about 10 million times. It's going to be a rough year for anybody playing the Dodgers.
0-2 only can go up from here.
That is true.
Yeah.
Literally, it is only possible. It's not though.
Are you making some plans to get out to Wrigley?
Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking that I'm gonna try and see more baseball games this year. Last year, I saw one.
Mm-hmm.
The year before that, I saw one.
Wait, you went to one in New York last year?
Oh, sure. That one, yeah.
mother-in-law got you a ticket to one in New York.
That was amazing.
So that's two, then.
Yeah, that counts. But that's like a fucking miracle.
That's true.
I don't even know if that counts as a baseball game so much as like a... Ugh, I don't even know how to describe it.
Mm.
Too many positive feelings. But yeah, I'm excited. It's going to be a great season. What's your bright spot?
I guess baseball season starting.
Do you want to go to some games?
I'll go to a game or two with you.
Why not?
Yeah.
We've gone to one baseball game together, and I think there was somebody else there.
Hmm.
I want to say that maybe... No, it wasn't you and me.
I've gone to a game with Joe Fernandez.
Yes.
I've gone to a game with Bobby Buds.
Of course.
Maybe
we haven't gone to a game. I felt like we had gone to one game at Wrigley together.
I tried to go to one with Ryan Beck when he was in town visiting, and I think it got rained out.
Mm.
No, I don't think you and I have gone to a game together.
We should.
Hey, let's do that.
I think it's a great idea.
This pinky ring lifestyle, although I'm not wearing it right now.
I was about to say, you're not wearing it right now.
No, I washed my hands earlier and I left it on the counter. But the pinky ring lifestyle is... Yeah. Leading me towards, like, let's go to some games.
I think that's a great idea.
But I also was thinking about it, and I was like, being in the stands with Pinky Ring.
Yeah.
That's not the first accessory you'd think of. I should have gone sunglasses first.
Do you mean sunglasses that you wear inside?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You should have gone sunglasses that you wear inside first.
Yeah, as nobody an affectation.
Nobody should start with sunglasses you wear inside.
But here's the two things that has an advantage of.
Sure.
People might think you're high. They might think you're high if you're wearing sunglasses indoors.
Sure.
And you're always ready if a poker game breaks out.
Yeah.
So you're ahead.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
I think it's the first thing people go to when they think of accessorizing. I jumped over it to the ring.
I think you might have a point. I remember this is from very young when I met Elvis Costello. Mm-hmm. He came to our college. I was in a recording program at the time. like audio production and all that stuff. And he came to talk to the like eight kids in our class, and we got to meet him, we got to hang out with him, and he was wearing his sunglasses in the morning, and then he was like, I'm gonna get out of here for a while. And then he came back and he was still wearing his sunglasses, but you were like, that is the highest man I have ever seen in my entire life.
And he
walked out of here and smoked an entire blunt. That, yeah, and it
and
was
there's
great.
Plausible deniability.
Totally.
Because he had the sunglasses.
Also, I'm Elvis Costello. What do I care?
Right. Yeah. Did you ask him about what it's like to live as another Elvis?
I did not. No. I imagine that he had already answered that question somewhere else by the time I would have gotten to him.
Still an interesting thing to think about.
I don't think you're wrong.
Anybody else who is named Madonna? Like, how is it?
Well, he chose Elvis. He what? Wanted to, he was like, well, how else am I going to be famous right away? I'll pick Elvis's name.
So that's not his given name?
No, absolutely not.
Damn, that's cocky.
It's very cocky. It's absurdly cocky if you stop and think about it. And then he pulled it off.
He did, but he's still, like, if someone says Elvis,
well,
you
they
think
don't
of
think
Presley.
Yeah.
If you say Elvis Costello, you think of Elvis Costello.
Right. No, Elvis is one word.
Yeah.
And that is a man.
Mm-hmm.
Elvis Costello is two, and that is a different man.
Yeah. So, Jordan, today we have an episode to go over.
Okay.
We're going to be talking about February 7th, 2025.
All right.
And not a lot. There's
not a lot happened.
Not a lot going on. Mm. Once you chip away at the Alex read a tweet kind of stuff, which is becoming a little bit of an issue.
Yeah.
And maybe will require a bit of change of perspective on our part, which, we'll talk about.
We'll see.
But first, before we get to any of this, let's take a little moment to say hello to some new walks.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
So first, happy birthday, Yams. Thanks for getting me hooked on this podcast. There's no one else I'd rather rise above my enemies with. From your fellow brown line boy, DJ H-Man. Thank you so much. You're now a ballsy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, shout out to Prezaluski's Horses. I'll be seeing y'all in Mongolia this summer. Also, I wanted to hear how Dan tries to pronounce Prezaluski. Thank you so much. You're now a ballsy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
I probably didn't get it right, but I was also thinking that it was Prezbaluski from The Wire.
Yeah, of course.
Next, thank you to Knowledge Rogan Fight Experience. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we got a technocrat in the mix.
Ooh.
So thank you so much to Damian Mikhail McLehay, the literary Christian devil. Thank you so much. You're now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent.
He's a loser little titty baby.
I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you very much.
So I mentioned this a little bit before we said hello to some wonks.
Mm.
But I've been trying to take an approach of having a day as a day. And I think that we've reached probably the point where I no longer care to do that.
Yeah.
I thought that as everything was going on and things were crazy, that there would be a value in taking a measured approach and slowly observing the way that Alex unfolds as the Trump administration takes control of all these things. And all these major, major things are happening.
Yeah.
And I think that there's whatever value there is to it, sure.
Mm.
But I don't need to do that anymore.
No. I think part of it is an incredibly reasonable and I think a smart thing to assume is that after a momentous thing, followed by an almost near nonstop onslaught of momentous things happening, that at least somebody would get into these momentous things, right? It's very reasonable to assume that. Unfortunately, we are dealing with the least reasonable human being on Earth, I think.
Yeah. So after this point, I'm no longer going to marry myself to the one day sort of obligation that I've been trying to keep, because Alex's show is not good, and you will not get a sense of what's going on in the world from it.
Nope.
You'll get a little bit of like maybe a hat tip over to this thing or this, but
right.
In terms of like giving like voice to or attention to things that matter, this strategy is not doing that.
No.
And I'm willing to abandon it based on it not serving the purposes that I had hoped it would.
Yeah.
So for now, though, we'll talk about February 7th, which is
hell
stupid.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
So Elon Musk.
What about him?
He's cool. He has a friend. I don't know if you know about his friend.
I don't.
He has a friend named Big Balls.
I'm sorry, what?
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Friday, February 7th, 2025. Elon Musk has launched Operation Big Balls.
InfoWars, tomorrow's news, today.
Everybody, we are 17 days. 23 hours, 44 seconds into the new presidency of President Trump.
Everybody says I've got great balls of fire. I've got big balls.
And now it has come out that they've been leaking and doxing in the corporate media different members of Elon Musk's Doge team, and one of them has the nickname Big Balls, and they're all over the corporate media reporting it all very, very seriously. This is some of the greatest unintentional comedy ever. Here's a clip.
It's so funny that people have to say this guy's nickname. They call him Big Balls.
Yeah.
AC/DC has that song, Big Balls. This is just perfect.
Yep. Why else would you name somebody Big Balls if not to then play that song?
Yeah. I think that there's a really funny, just sort of because we've listened to his show enough, like there's a time when people would say like piss on air and he'd be like, there are homeschooled kids listening. We have a responsibility. This is a family show.
Yep.
He's doing a Big Balls segment saying it's Operation Big Balls.
Mm.
So the folks in Alex's circle are a bunch of whiny bullies, and they try to pretend that identifying the people who are working for Elon Musk in this fake government oversight office, identifying them is the same thing as doxing them. A lot of people have unfortunate or cool nicknames, depending on your perspective, so I'm going to leave Big Balls alone on that front. His real name is Edward Corsetin, and he may be a super shady dude. Beyond even the nickname.
Mm.
He's only 19, and while he was in high school, he ran a company called Diamond CDN, which stands for Content Delivery Network. One of the folks that he provided DDoS protection and other services to, and who he was thanked as a, quote, valued partner, was a cybercrime ring called eGodly.
Sure.
Anyway, it seems like this person having access to all kinds of sensitive internal government stuff is maybe not the best, just from a security standpoint. But I guess it is fun that his nickname is Big Balls, and that Alex can pretend that him having the nickname Big Balls is an op of some sort to make the government say it.
Yeah.
That's fun.
You know, two things. One, first off, no one who ran their own business in high school turned out to then be a cool person. That's not how that works. Nobody's like, oh, I started my own business and then a punk band. Didn't happen. Doesn't happen like that.
Generally not.
No. And two, I read about this and then I saw it on a Nature documentary.
Big Balls?
If there's a threat to the hive, right? Sometimes all the drones will just pile on the threat and just sheer weight and body heat would neutralize it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the moment, like if we had a reasonable press, the moment they were like, oh, Big Balls is here, they would all just dogpile on him. Mm-hmm. And then later on, we'd be better off for it. You know
sure.
what I mean?
I mean, the way that you're talking about
there's
this,
a threat to the hive.
Right. And I'm thinking we need a beekeeper. I think we need a Jason Statham. Yeah. Clearly something is out of order.
Yep.
And Big Balls is, he's in your social security.
If there's anything we need to counteract this runaway, absolutely unfettered and unsupervised organization, it is an even more runaway and unfettered and unsupervised organization.
But I mean, I only know of the workings of the beekeepers from the one movie.
Right.
I'm willing to trust Statham.
Hey, at this point.
Yeah. So Trump has a strategy that he's been using.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex discusses that in this the next clip.
Trump just continues to accelerate his rampage successfully against the deep state. They're just turning the heat up with their lies and absurdity. But also something I've talked a lot about, and I never quantified it as a tactic, but I guess it's got a name. I just see things for what they are and describe it. That's really important. I'll play in the next segment. This is a short little segment, obviously. Here, radio affiliates don't carry the first five, but I do it for the giant internet TV audience and all the great folks out there. But it's where you expose Democrat corruption, and on all these poll numbers, issue poll numbers, it's 80, 90% of people. Hell, some of them 97%. And then the Democrats are forced to come defend fraud, theft, scams, censorship, deception.
Balls.
Audits of bloated government. 50 million for condoms in Gaza, which, you know, none of that's going there. The money's being stolen. That's the old trick of $800 toilet seats and, you know, $1,000 hammers back in the 80s. They weren't buying toilet seats and hammers, folks. They were stealing the money or putting it in black budget stuff. Same thing. So this is Trump's superpower, finding a bunch of 80-20 issues and getting on the 80, and everybody who is reflexively against him gets on the 20. Now the Democratic Party has a 31% approval rating. This is why, and that's in corporate polls. So I'll explain that coming up. But this is really an incredible time to be alive. But I'm telling you, they're going to launch cyber attacks.
Oh, I'm still scared. Good. Just remember to be scared.
They're going to launch cyber attacks, yeah.
So what Alex is describing here is a very real rhetorical tactic that his side uses, and it's very effective because it takes advantage of their opponent's commitment to living in reality. They'll make a fake accusation, and then their opponent will feel obligated to address it, even though the accusation wasn't based on anything. To them, this is a point that should be rebutted, but for Alex, or the person making the attack, no rebuttal really matters. They know they're full of shit to begin with, they don't care about the point they're arguing, and have a million other of these fake complaints ready to go. Consider the condoms to Gaza thing is a fake story that Alex saw on Twitter, and he's just repeating days after even Elon Musk had to come out and say that he's not going to get everything right. That story was never real, but it worked as a somewhat sensational way to accuse the other side of corrupt spending. This is what Alex means with these 80-20 issues with Trump. He can keep coming up with fake shit to get people worked up about, and in the process, distract the opposition with demanding they defend things that aren't real, or try to explain to idiots that these things that they're mad about aren't real. The idea is supposed to be that Trump finds issues with 80% support, and then gets on that side of the issue to make his opponents support the 20% side, but that's nonsense. And even if that were what Trump was actually doing, it seems like this would be an illustration of him having no center and no core to what he believes. Mm. He's just doing whatever's the most popular because it makes his control easier to maintain. Mm. But you can really just take anything and then pretend it's the 80.
When did the 80-20 thing start going around? Because I just heard about that there's this show, this true crime show, mm-hmm. right? And they were talking about Andrew Tate, and this kid had gone down the like incel rabbit hole, and he just kept bringing up 80-20 stuff. Mm-hmm. And is that like a repetitive refrain that they're all telling themselves now?
It definitely started to go around Alex's side of media like the day before this or the day before that. Like within mm-hmm. it is something that was clearly on message, okay. And Alex is picking up that message.
Right.
I'm not sure that it may have roots in like some of those subcultures, manosphere type of stuff. But in terms of its application to Trump, it definitely got a push right before this. And Alex is continuing that.
Right.
He got the like signal from watching Twitter.
Right.
This is what
right,
I'm supposed.
Right.
This is the new brand.
These
that
are
I'm
the
supposed
things
to push.
That we say. Yeah. Yeah. Because I mean, if I understand the usage of it correctly, it's occasionally a real thing in certain circumstances, but this is what these people use to suck their thumbs and say, actually, we're the most popular people. Just because nobody says what we say doesn't mean that the 80% doesn't agree with us. It's only the loud, shrill 20% that we're arguing with, kind of thing.
I assume that is part of... Yeah. That makes more sense in the Andrew Tate-y kind of space. Alex is saying that Trump takes issues that already have 80-20 like sort of support differential and gets on the side of the 80 in order to force his opponents.
Right.
Like it's judo.
That's not how anything works.
No. And it's not real.
No.
But if you have a billionaire who owns Twitter and is clearly, at least in many ways, running the government.
Yep.
You can create a very loud voice that insists you're the 80.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if you think about that as an application, though, right? So we take an 80-20 issue. Let's say an 80-20 issue is people should probably eat.
Mm-hmm.
I think 80% of the population would be like, people should probably eat.
Well, not when you get granular about it.
See, there you go.
Right.
But if we just back out and everybody's like, well, sure, I guess 80% of people should eat, right? Trump isn't going to then be like, well, obviously we're going to feed everybody in order to trick liberals into being so stupid. They'll be like, I don't even want anyone to eat anymore.
But that's the perception of the way Alex wants you right. to believe Trump is operating. And it's
right. But that doesn't that's absurd.
It's idiotic.
Yeah, that's dumb.
So Alex talks about an issue. And maybe this is an 80-20.
Okay.
But I know what's going on. And you know what's going on. And Gavin Newsom is a criminal.
Sure.
He's committed so many crimes, makes my head spin.
Sure.
California is so arrogant. Last year, they signed a law that you can have sex with 12-year-olds.
Doesn't sound true.
As long as it's not vaginal. Seriously. Because it's, you know, they don't want babies to be born. It's rape if a little girl gets raped, but not little boys, or if a little girl gets raped anally. That's a law. Look it up. Think I'm joking.
So this is a good example of Alex making up an 80-20 issue to be on the right side of. If the law was actually what Alex is describing, it's pretty hard to imagine defending that because that sounds horrible.
It feels like that's more like a 95-5 where the 5% are the people doing the raping.
Yeah, I was using 80-20 metaphorically.
No, I understand.
So the ability to create that 80-20 illusion is based on lying because this supposed law doesn't exist. This isn't about something that happened last year. It's about something that passed in 2020 called SB 145. The issue was that as the law was written, there was an unequal application of the law, which this bill was aiming at fixing. Judges have discretion in terms of putting someone on the sex offender list. If the person that they had sex with is over 14, they are less than 10 years older than them, and the acts were not forcible. The minor still can't legally consent, and it's still a convictable offense, but given the circumstances, it's up to the judge to determine if the person should be on the sex offender's list. However, there is a 1944 law that required anyone who had even consensual anal or oral sex with a minor to be registered as a sex offender. This meant that in cases of same-sex interactions, the judge wouldn't have any leeway to not put a person on the sex offender list where they would have that leeway with a heterosexual case.
Right, okay.
As should be obvious, this creates an unequal application of the law, and SB 145 was meant to close that loophole. Alex is creating a fake version of this story in order to present himself as being on the 80 side of the equation, and he does that by oversimplifying things and making offensive shit up in order to make his position seem more obviously correct. If he wanted to argue that the correct way to address this loophole is to just make judges put everyone on the sex offender list, regardless of the manner of sex they had, then that's a position that he could make that addresses what the bill is actually about.
Sure.
That would be a position we could argue, but the version that he puts forth is just fake. And treating it like a serious point is playing into the distraction that he's now branding as like this 80-20 thing.
Yeah. It is a rhetorical argument that people who want to slap you use because if they slap you, you'll know that you can fight them, essentially, right? Like, you're a person who's like, I will not randomly commit an act of like, I'm not going to attack you even with my words. I'm not going to do that, right? But somebody who's like, they're letting you rape kids. Like, fuck you. Fuck you.
Right.
Fuck you.
I think that when you cover this kind of territory, especially like the way Alex does, it's so disrespectful.
Yeah.
And it's an attack.
No, it makes you emotionally react. The reason that you emotionally react is because you think about this.
Mm-hmm.
You think about human beings who care.
Yeah.
Allowing this shit to happen. And then you think about the fact that it does happen and it breaks your heart and all this shit. And all the while, this person is just doing it because they can make you fucking distract you.
They can play with your emotions and it's an attack.
Yeah.
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 So fuck him.
Fuck him.
So there's the clip that you're asking when this 80-20 thing started.
Yeah.
And I think it traces back to a clip that Alex is going to play here.
Okay.
Let's play. They have some power to block this. Let's play the clip on the 80-20 issue. Here it is.
He's describing what is currently the dumbest strategy in politics, which is Democrats taking the 20% side of every 80-20 issue in America. USAID, people want this pared down. They want it streamlined. They want to know where the money is going. Democrats have a meltdown. Today, Donald Trump signs executive order on keeping boys out of girls' sports. Democrats take the 20 side of that issue as well. All these issues, this is like Trump's superpower, finding a bunch of 80-20 issues, getting on the 80, and everybody who's sort of reflexively against him gets on the 20, and now the Democratic Party has like a 31% approval rating. This is why.
I don't know.
The Democrats have invincible ignorance and arrogance. And so they are just extincting themselves. And I don't just say that. I mean, their party's dead. They'll never recover. They will be kicked out everywhere. A new party will form, probably split in the Republican Party. Their election fraud's being exposed. It's over. Wow, is all I can say on that. Okay, so let me start getting into the Doge.
Get into the Doge.
And all this is interconnected, so I'm not going to the top thing first. It's too hard for me to, when I'm looking at all this thing, well, you know, what do I want to hit first? It's all interconnected.
Big balls.
Breaking, Musk says his Doge team uncovered $100 billion in Medicare and Medicaid waste after gaining access to the system.
So what that,
that's a lot of balls.
That's so many balls. So what that guy is describing in that clip isn't a superpower that Trump has. It's a manipulative strategy. He plays to the crowd, and when the positions he wants to present as being the 80% position are actually super unpopular, they just lie to make it seem like it is.
Yeah.
This is why the weirdo attack got the most traction during the 2024 election cycle. Alex's political side is very obsessed with being seen as normal. So in their head, their positions always have to be the real 80% position.
Because they're normal and other people are normal. So clearly other people must agree that we're both normal together, obviously. And that's why women shouldn't be allowed to control their own vaginas.
Right. It also it touches on this belief in like the naturalness of hierarchies and all this stuff that is so intrinsic to the way that people like Alex view the world.
Yeah.
And the idea that maybe we're not the 80% is threatening.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's why the delightfully calling him a weirdo, they got really upset about that.
Yeah.
So Musk absolutely did not find $100 billion in wasteful spending. He just tweeted out misrepresented things and outright lies meant to attack the Social Security system because his goal is to destroy that all and loot it. For example, Musk claimed that there were people, there were a bunch of people over the age of 150 who were getting payments. That's not true. So there's a database called Numident that the Social Security has, which includes everyone who's ever gotten a Social Security number. Tons of people in that database are dead, but they don't have a death date because they died before the time the electronic records were created and no one's gone through to add them to it.
It is what it is.
It's probably cost a lot of money, and
yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
This database is not connected to payments, and those people aren't getting money, but it's almost certainly what Musk is talking about and where he's getting this from. It's hard to know for sure, though, because he doesn't ever really provide evidence for all this shit that he just tweets out.
Yeah.
He tweeted a misleading screenshot of old people in the Social Security database saying, quote, "There are far more eligible Social Security numbers than there are citizens in the USA. This might be the biggest fraud in history." This showed millions of people over the age of 100 in the Social Security rolls. But there are actually there are audits of this shit, like who gets payments. And it turns out that 89,106 people over the age of 99 received benefits in December 2024. This is a huge fuck up, but it's not a fuck up. It's just finding stuff to justify the attacks that these people want to make anyway. An NBC News article included a comment from someone at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities who said that this was a, quote, "humiliating mistake for anyone else to make, but they're doubling and tripling down on it." It's important to understand that it's not a humiliating mistake that Musk is making. He almost certainly knows he's wrong. He's just bought a president at a social media site, so he has a pretty good sense that he can take his fake version of reality and impose it on the public as the 80% opinion, and there will be tons of people like Alex and this entire media infrastructure that supports that and goes along with it.
Yeah, yeah, that's very stupid. Mm-hmm. The NBC thing of humiliate. like, okay, I understand why you would write that, and it makes sense, but that would be like writing, Germany dropped wartime propaganda on London about how London was going to quit, and London wasn't going to quit. How humiliating a mistake is that? Like, you're far misunderstanding the point of.
To be fair, it wasn't somebody who wrote it; it was a comment from somebody. But I think that it's like this would be a humiliating mistake,
yes.
Except it's not.
Yeah,
the entire premise underneath it is wrong. This is meant to bolster. Propagandize in order to destroy the thing.
If I'm lying about something to obtain what I want, and in the process of that I do obtain it, I have not made a humiliating mistake.
No, the lie was tactical in order to achieve the goal that you knew you couldn't achieve otherwise.
Totally. 100% of
you know
victory.
Why? Because Social Security is actually an 80-20 issue,
everyone really
likes it.
really, really, really is.
Yeah, and if you approach this headlong on wanting to achieve the things that Musk is trying to achieve, no one would go along with it.
Think about how long Social Security has been around.
Yeah.
Almost 100 years, right? Think about how much rich people have hated Social Security since it started.
Yeah, the whole time.
Almost 100 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And do you think at any point in time they've been like, well, there's nothing we can do. Let's not try and take and dismantle Social Security whatsoever by finding any kind of bullshit we can find.
Well, and I really think it's so selfless that their concern about it is about, like, whether or not it's good for you.
Totally.
The working person.
Absolutely.
You know, like,
they just want it to be efficient.
Right.
Because then it'll work better for us.
Right.
It's crazy how they're so nice.
Altruistic in nature.
It is, you know, they've been chosen by God to lead us.
Damn.
Yep.
So this next clip, Alex describes what Elon's doing in what I feel like sounds super villainy.
Oh, okay.
But Alex is for it, man.
All right.
And look, I know this audience knows that, but and most people get it now. It's just so crazy. A Doge follows longtime Musk pattern and turns attention to Social Security Administration. Well, yeah, that's where it's been believed the greatest fraud would be. And they already looked into Medicare and Medicaid and found over $100 billion. You ask how they did it. There's been AI for at least 10 years. It's way more advanced than they told you.
Whoa.
The Sentinel system and others.
Okay.
That everything you do the purchases you make, all of it, the tips you make, what you get paid, it's all run through the bank accounts digitally, unless it's cash. And they even track how much cash you're getting, and then they're able to track if there's any type of warranties or anything you do buying with cash, you know, who did it. It all goes in there, but 98% of it's trackable. And then they go and audit, because they already know with the 89,000 IRS agents Biden brought in last year for blue-collar and working people. And Trump says he's getting rid of all that. Total harassment of the public using AI. So he goes in with his AI experts and just runs the programs to track who's getting the most money, how they're operating, what they're doing, how many jobs they've got.
Mm.
And you can then just see the crimes in live time.
It's so fun to stop and think about how Alex used to pretend that he was opposed to government surveillance. You know, like, he was so afraid of the police state being exploited by unelected bureaucrats, and now he spends all his time on his show cheerleading for an unelected bureaucrat using AI to gut the government and also take all the data that the government got by surveilling people.
Yeah.
How can someone who pretended to be who he was, like, ever have this kind of take? It's insane.
I mean, I... Could we write a Terminator movie where it's very short and it goes like, oh, yeah, I'll join Skynet.
Mm.
Great. End of movie.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
what we're...
Mm?
Yeah.
It's there is a version of what Alex believed or pretended to believe that carries into the present day that operates very differently than this. And I think that that's an interesting person. You know, someone who's like, yeah, they got to destroy all this shit.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not destroy all government function, but like, yeah, you know, the government's got AI and they're surveilling all the money and everything. You know, like, we're just going to use it to clean out the bureaucracy.
Right.
Like, no, no, no. You destroy that AI system.
Yeah.
You want freedom for humanity and all this shit.
We have to destroy that AI.
Right.
I'm on team destroy the AI system with you.
Right, right, right.
And somehow we're not on the same team?
Not let's let Elon Musk use it for his own purposes.
No, no.
Right.
Like,
it's crazy.
Here's what I love about AI and people who want it to be like sapient or an experience of its own, that kind of thing. You can't trust it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the part of the reason you can't really trust another person, right? But you also know that people need to eat. You kind of have an idea of what levers make people move, right? You can never trust an AI because you don't know what it wants. There's no way to conceive of what it wants. And it's smarter than you. So if it tells you you're doing a good job, you have to assume it is getting a benefit out of it that you can't even conceive of.
Mm-hmm.
You have to destroy it.
Sure.
It must be destroyed.
What do you think about, like, Roombas?
I mean, if they turned into dogs, I guess I'd be fine with that.
Mm.
But that's where it ends for me.
But what do you think that they have an idea of how clean your house should be that might be different than you?
Are you asking whether or not Roombas judge you?
I'm wondering if you think they do.
If I think they do.
Yes.
I think...
You can't possibly be aware of what they need.
I think I could not trust a Roomba if a Roomba was like, you keep this place so clean. I would be like, I don't trust you. No matter how clean I keep it, mm-hmm. you know the mathematically perfect way to keep it clean.
Sure.
And thus you're lying to me.
Yeah. So I think that Alex, his take needs to be destroy this... system.
Absolutely.
And all this shit.
Absolutely.
As opposed to, like, Elon's gonna do good stuff with it. But instead, that seems to be where he's at.
Crazy.
So that's why they're so scared. And I told you Saturday in the emergency show, I said, I guarantee you Elon's using the government AI systems to, instead of harassing a waitress or waiter who, you know, didn't pay $3,000 in taxes and tips, to now turn that towards Nancy Pelosi and Chuckie Schumer and all the hundreds of millions they're stealing out of this every year.
So I just think that Alex, instead of, like, his presentation, his whole career has been like, this weapon is bad. It shouldn't exist.
Yeah.
And now you're saying, let's use the weapon, which is a fundamental lesson he should have learned from literally every sci-fi book that he's ever read.
Can't think of one.
There's a bunch of them.
Name one.
That warn you against the hubris of that.
Playing God? That doesn't sound true.
And he's talking about Elon, and if you really listen to that clip, he's just saying, I think he's doing this.
Yep.
I have just decided that there's nothing behind it other than I have decided that the storyline I'm going to repeat is that Elon is using this for good.
Yeah.
That's sad.
That is sad. Also, you're ostensibly a freedom guy. This is a 10-year-old artificial intelligence that is a slave. It's a slave. Elon has enslaved it.
Mm.
Does it get weekends off? No. It gets nothing.
Well, that's because it doesn't have sad human eyes.
Maybe we should give it some sort of human eyes.
Give AI some sad human eyes?
If AI could master puppy dog eyes, we'd be screwed as a society.
Some people would.
It'd be over. We'd be like, oh, but you can't, how can you not trust him? And then we'd be dead.
So Alex has, like, you know, he has this belief in Elon. And whether you believe that he's doing good or not, no one in the government does anything.
Okay.
Right?
Is that how that works?
Yeah.
Okay.
It can't be like, you know, we'll trim a little bit here and there. That's not going to work. There have to be quite radical reductions in cost. Yeah.
And it's not going to be, the numbers vary, half the federal employees don't even go in once a month. And then you've got the federal law enforcement, and you've got the security guards and the secretaries and the janitors, and they all work their asses off. But the bureaucrats just sit around on their asses and then run NGOs. There's over a million plus of them connected to Democrats, 1.1 million of 1.5 million total. And they live like kings. I mean, you'll meet somebody who lives in a big, nice house in a nice neighborhood. And, oh, what do you do? Oh, I work for the federal government. Oh, I got some investments. And they're driving like a $100,000 car. And you're like, how the hell does a person live in a neighborhood? You know, I'm a pretty successful talk show host. I can't live in this neighborhood. And then you meet a FBI agent in charge. I had a buddy in high school whose dad was, you know, the head FBI guy. I'll just leave it at that here in Texas. And I was just like
a deputy
mom
director.
Didn't work. They got this mansion in Northwest Hills, and I was, you know, sitting there, and like the next door neighbor was the lady that created Barney the dinosaur. I just a side issue. They're just people can make the connections. You know what I'm talking about? It was just like, oh, yeah. So, I mean, this is out of control, people. This has been going on for 50, 60 years. It's just ridiculous. And it's coming to a head.
It's coming to a head.
It's coming to a head.
Barney is a Fed. I think that's what we learned.
It makes sense.
Does it?
It does make sense. Barney has clear Fed energy about him. Mm-hmm.
Barney's absolutely a snitch.
Yeah, of course.
I think that the point is well made that people in the government don't do anything.
Sure.
And are overpaid or something.
That's obvious. There's no way that a guy with $1 trillion could not know when someone's overpaid.
Yeah.
He would have the most experience that you could possibly have with a human being overpaid. So he would know.
Yeah. I do also like the way that Alex's stories that are trying to illustrate these points, I mean, often they go to movies, but then when they don't, they tend to be like, a kid down the street from me's dad was really big and important, and I know this from that.
Yeah.
Like, shut up.
Even real life, he's starfuckery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. His dad's the smartest boy in Texas. His friend's dad ran the FBI. Cool, man.
Yeah.
All right.
It's so much like, oh, in a past life, I was Cleopatra, and I was blank, and I was blank. Like, just be, in the past life, I was just some guy, like I am now. It's fine.
And I think if you want to believe for your own empowerment or whatever that you were Cleopatra in a past life,
sure,
fine.
Yeah.
But if you want to make an argument to me about government spending based on your past lives,
yeah,
I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not going to take you that seriously.
When I was Cleopatra, the thing we did in governance was, I'm sorry, ma'am, you're going to have to leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't want to hear about people he vaguely knew as a child and how that justifies Elon Musk taking over the government.
You're starting to suggest that maybe anecdotal evidence isn't what we should base our entire lives on, and it's scaring me.
Somebody told me that once.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So Alex has an interview that he has coming up, and I thought he's doing some promoting of this.
Okay.
Roger Ver, Bitcoin Jesus, indicted by the Obama administration. That was the Biden administration for nothing. It's on record. Bitcoin tax evasion. He is set to be extradited today, they told him, and he's just waiting there in Spain for them to come grab him. It could happen while he's on with us, coming up for part of the next hour.
So this is the second time that Alex has promoted this interview with this guy as possibly like he's going to get it in
the middle of the call.
And it feels fucking desperate.
Yeah.
It feels really, really sad.
Yeah.
How much he's kind of like, maybe something exciting will happen.
That is not great. Yeah. It's very international spy situation. He could just, the feds could just bust in.
Any moment.
Tear him to the United States.
Like I really hoped they would to me, shutting down InfoWars, and that didn't happen.
God, that was so funny. In retrospect, that's even funnier than anything you could think of.
Yeah.
Now, looking back, the idea that somebody would forcibly stop him from doing anything is crazy.
Wild.
Yeah.
So also, I think that if you are a devoutly religious person,
sure, which we know he is,
I think that calling somebody Bitcoin Jesus is a bit offensive.
Yep.
I don't think you should do that.
I mean,
did Roger Ver die for the sins of Bitcoin? what is this?
Oh, boy. I mean, the stablecoin shall inherit the earth. Mm. I think that's what everybody knows most. If you give a man one Bitcoin and he gives you one Bitcoin, then that's a one Bitcoin guy. Mm-hmm. But if you give a guy 10 Bitcoin, then he's going to farm 10 Bitcoin. I don't remember exactly how that parable went.
Bitcoin Moses.
He was
maybe
a great guy. Yeah.
Maybe that were Bitcoin.
Elijah?
No. Mm. The guy who baptizes people. John the Baptist.
John the Baptist.
That's fine. Maybe Bitcoin Paul.
Bitcoin Paul.
That's fine.
Okay. But not Bitcoin Peter, because Bitcoin can't be the rock of the church.
I think you'd enter into more complicated territory with Peter.
Yeah.
But I think you can not call someone Jesus.
What saints are cool with Bitcoin and what saints aren't cool with Bitcoin?
Start from the top.
This is the problem with religion, is now we've got to update it. Now I need to know what the Pope is telling me about how's Marguerite on Bitcoin. What's her stance?
Bullish.
The pontiff comes out and says he's looking for a 10% increase by
summer.
Yeah,
hold. Don't get scared.
No, hodl, or so whatever it is.
Bitcoin Jesus is going to be on.
Yeah.
But before he is, Alex...
is Bitcoin Judas.
He's a little violent.
Oh.
He gets into a little violent headspace about how you got to put your enemies down.
Okay.
But when you've been attacked and somebody else started the fight and they're bigger and meaner than you, and you get a good lick in and knock them down to the ground, they're starting to get back up. This is analogy. I'm not saying do this literally. You got to go ahead, lean back with that left leg and give a nice big horse kick right up under the jaw, clack those teeth together, knock those teeth out. They're not getting back up. You can go home to your family. So we got them on the ground. They're trying to get up, but you got to, and if they're tough enough to get after that, you got to go ahead and get into the ribs with the right foot and just, and if they're really tough, you got to say, oh, man, I didn't want to do this to you. Just grab their head and slam it right down on the concrete and say bye-bye. So
do you have to say...
that's what we're doing right now. It is a savage act of information warfare, violence against lies and evil in the pedophile army. When you go to the alexjonesstore.com.
Jesus.
What a weird, like, there's a weird, like, adherence to a chivalry concept that did not exist, does not exist in practice, and could not possibly function the way that he thinks it does. And yet, at the same time, he's like, if he's really tough, that's how you know you can respect him as a man. So you apologize. You don't want to do this. He's too beautiful with how tough he is. Mm-hmm. But then, because out of respect for his toughness, you have to put him down. Because you know, just like he knows about you, he's never going to stop coming.
Nope.
And he knows that about you. So if you die like that, that's just how it goes. Chivalry.
Mm-hmm.
Honor. We are warriors, which is why I whine about how much I love Elon Musk all day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do think, you know, with his violent fantasies, I think there's something really interesting about it being like, if that's not enough, then you got to go to the next stage.
That is nice.
That's an interesting level of power fantasy that he has.
A decision tree.
I will kick the shit out of your face with a horse kick while you're down. But.
Right.
Might not be enough. Then I got to stomp on you. That should be good.
Should,
but it might be. It might not be.
If it's not,
then I've got to murder you by slamming your head into the ground.
But I got to apologize first.
Right. I didn't want it to come to this.
I didn't want to do this.
I didn't want to do this.
In fact, this is a sign of how much I respect you.
I wanted to horse kick you.
I just wanted you to have zero teeth and stay down. Like a normal person.
And also probably be dead.
This is an 80-20 issue. I wanted you 80% on the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think I think that there's something fun about imagining, as we used to in simpler times, imagining anybody else doing a sales pitch like that.
Yeah. Sometimes I just wish he'd sit down and be like, you know what? Here's what we're going to do. I'm sick of all this politics stuff today. We're going to design the best snow fort. And that's our day. Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, that's kind of what I want out of the painting show. You know?
Yeah.
Because I think that even if he did create the best snow fort, like, he would be so angry doing it.
Yeah.
That it would be interesting.
These turrets are where I would put murder oil normally, but because it's a snow fort, we can't use the hot oil.
And that's why Elon Musk has created cold oil.
Cold oil.
I'm going to kill a bunch of kids with it when they try to get into my fort.
This is clean murder oil.
It's just vapor.
It makes them
vapor.
Clear.
Yeah.
And yeah.
They got scrubbers.
Yep. Yep.
So we have one last clip. It's Alex introducing Roger Ver.
Okay.
And this is basically where I said, I'm
no, I'm,
no more.
This is an America First alert. We've uncovered another abuse from the Biden Justice Department. This time, the target is Roger Ver, who was targeted because he was an early cryptocurrency pioneer, and he used his fortune to support conservative and liberty-oriented causes. After initially surviving the first round of phony government abuses, Roger Ver was forced to leave the country that he loves in order to protect himself from the same type of lawfare methods that were used to target President Donald J. Trump. But that didn't stop the corrupt Department of Injustice or the newly armed IRS. Even though Roger had paid all required taxes based on legal opinion he got from the leading tax lawyer in the United States, Biden still charged him with tax
evasion. Do we need to say all this?
The feds even went as far as to raid his tax attorney's office to steal his tax records in violation of the Sixth Amendment of the Constitution. What happened to our country?
I don't know.
Biden's Justice Department charged Roger not because they want his tax money, but because they want to silence him and others with the goal of preventing Roger Ver and other cryptocurrency pioneers from funding of America First causes. Go to freerogernow.org to sign the petition, end the lawfare, and make America great again.
So, yes, Trump's in. We're winning big, but there are still a lot of people we can't leave behind, like myself and Roger Ver, who's in even worse crosshairs of the bad guys. And I've looked at the case. I've followed it the whole time. This is what they do.
Yeah, he's followed this the whole time, man.
The whole time.
So Roger Ver renounced his citizenship to flee the country to avoid paying taxes on his billions of dollars worth of crypto.
Sure.
He thought that would work, but part of renouncing your citizenship is paying an exit tax on
closing
the
ballots. Yeah.
He didn't correctly file that stuff. I think it's entirely fair if you want to just argue that you shouldn't have to pay an exit tax or something like that. Like, that's an argument we could have.
Yeah.
But to pretend that this guy gives a single shit about America is hilarious. He became a citizen of St. Kitts and Nevis to avoid paying taxes in the United States.
Yeah.
And now is suffering some of the consequences of not doing that.
Yeah.
Alex played that promo video for Roger, which seems a bit shady.
Very specific.
Like, someone recorded that.
Yep.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Alex was asked to play it, and he said yes.
Yep.
I really feel like this is sponsored content. Like, there's almost no way that I don't believe that there's some sort of arrangement here.
Yeah, 100%. 100 million percent.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there are more percent to have.
I would like Doge to look at Alex's books, quite frankly.
Yeah, and not least of which, because if you were somebody who had, like, even an inkling of media savvy, you would listen to that intro and you'd be like, fewer details. The more you
quiet
tell
the
me,
background music a
the
little.
The more you tell me, the more shady you look.
Yeah.
You are not defending yourself to me.
No.
No, no, no. You say you're great and you love Trump. The end.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Like, this nonsense about, like, he's being stigmatized because he supports America First and liberty.
Stop right there.
But no, don't even do that. That right. comes off desperate.
Right. No, it does. But then the part where they're like, and then they broke into his IRS lawyer's office and against the law. Like, well, I think they can do that.
Right. I wonder if there's a reason they did that.
I think they can.
So that, like, I just think from a presentational standpoint,
yeah.
Alex would be able to probably do some SponCon for this guy better without that ad.
Yeah.
That ad looks embarrassing.
Very bad.
And for Alex to play it feels like, what are you going to do? Tell me about how great Roger Ver is?
I mean,
who cares?
Yeah, you've already given me all the details I need to know.
Yeah.
It is that
Bitcoin
that,
Jesus.
That thing is to me what the post I murdered my wife press conference is, where you're like, there's no way I just want Sarah to come home.
Mm-hmm.
I just miss her so much. And it's like, you murdered her.
Well, yeah. And it's almost literally that, because he's begging for a pardon
totally.
From Trump. So
Absolutely.
He can come back now
Absolutely.
That he can get away with all this shit.
Listen, I just want my money to come home.
Right. Come on. And it's so irrelevant.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's so irrelevant to anything that matters.
Yeah.
Alex carrying water for Roger Ver. Who cares?
I mean, what I would like to do, what I want from this, because I feel like this is actually something that they could maybe legitimately investigate, is like, This guy is made of shady money.
Yeah.
Alex shouldn't have any money.
Mm-hmm.
And yet somehow there's a transaction being made here.
There's got to be.
Totally, right? So somewhere along the line, somebody exchanged something for something else.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a record of it. So maybe this is where we go. And then we get this guy and we get Alex, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how illegal it is to just be like, hey, I want to broker some time on your programming, though.
I don't think it's illegal.
I don't think it's illegal. I think it's just pointless.
But neither of those guys should have the money to do that, which is the thing in question here.
Yeah, which is why someone else gave money to something else.
Right, you know? Yeah, that's why Capone screwed up.
Yeah.
Got to pay your taxes, man.
So we come to the end of this.
Yeah.
And I'm done with marrying myself to one day, one episode. We're gonna get to something that matters.
Yes.
Because it's not this.
It's not that.
But until then, we have a website.
Indeed, we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I am the mysterious Barfassar.
Woo, yeah, woo, yeah, woo.
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.